Let's talk about Job one more time. And let's read James 5 so that we'll know the main points. When we read Job and read it in the New Living or some other translation, what we're looking for as we read the book of Job. Verse 11, chapter 5. We count them happy which endure. We said several times the word endurance doesn't mean to hang in there until you're beat to death. When you're enduring, you're standing strong in the Lord and the power of His might, walking towards victory. You're enduring a trauma, a drama of some sort, and coming through on the other side victorious. It means to stand patiently, to continue. It means to be unwavering, to hold fast to the Word of God and continue to hold fast the Word of God until you see the power of that Word work mightily on your behalf. And we saw that very clearly in Job. You've heard of the patience of Job. Most people have heard of the suffering of Job. They don't know anything about the patience of Job. And seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, when we use the word pitiful, we mean that we're so sorry for you, or that's such a sad situation. But in the Greek and in the Hebrew, the word compassion, mercy, and pitiful are very much aligned together. Compassion is something that you do. It's not something that you think. It's something that you do. It's an action as well as mercy and pitiful. And you will see those words interchanged in the Old Testament and in the New. The blind men cried out for mercy, and so Jesus had compassion on them. They're the same concept, the same thought. Now, that's different from sympathy. You know, sympathy is a response. It's a feeling in response to your feeling. I'm picking up on your feeling, and I'm weeping when you weep and laughing when you laugh. And there's nothing wrong with sympathy, but it's not the same thing as compassion. You know, sympathy, I might say, I'm so sorry. I hope things work out for you. I may never even think of you again. Somebody will say, well, how did so-and-so do? And you think, oh, you know, I hadn't thought about that. And sympathy is more fleeting. Sympathy requires a face or a thought or something to jog your memory. But compassion is what you do. Pity is what you do. And mercy is what you do. Now let's prove that in 1 John. And we're not against sympathy. Scripture says weep with those that weep. But compassion is on a much higher order than sympathy. Chapter 3, verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shuts up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwells the love of God in him? Now, one of the outstanding definitions that I like comes from F.F. Bosworth, is love in action. Compassion, sympathy, and pity is love in action. It's what love does. It's an element of love. If you're going to make an apple pie, you have to have apples, but there are more to that pie than the apple. There's more to love than compassion, but compassion is very definitely a part of love. Compassion comes from the love of God. Now, the day you were born again, the love of God was poured into your spirit man. Whether or not it's active or passive, whether or not you've stirred it up and meditated in the Word and caused it to flow out of you depends upon you. But it is in you. You do have love in you. And that means you do have compassion in you, because compassion is a part of love. And you can tell that from this verse. Now, they don't consider you compassionate if you're not doing something. This situation is someone in need. I said, but you shut up the bowels of compassion. If you shut something up, it must be in there. You wouldn't shut it up. It means I'm just not going to respond. I don't care what your need is. I'm not responding today. So you can shut up compassion. Well, you can shut up love. You can refuse to be loving, refuse to be kind. You can choose jealousy and envy. You can be unselfish. You can make choices. Love makes choices. Compassion makes choices. But compassion is a stirring on the inside to do something. It's defined, even in Webster's, it's wonderfully defined, is to be full of eager yearning. And that's very important when we talk about the compassion of God. When you yearn for something, you want to do something. You're looking for something to do. You're not passive in any way. If you think of something to do, something that would be helpful, if you're stirring up God and asking God, give me an idea, I want to be of help to them. I want to do something on their behalf. And compassion is what you do. Now, if you have compassion, and you see how compassion is tied in with love, if you have love, then you would open up the doors of compassion and do something. That means you would babysit, you would bake a cake, you would listen attentively, you would call them every day on the phone, you would pray. Praying is a wonderful thing to do. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 10 and look at the Good Samaritan, because you can see this wonderful definition in the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, the subject is very important. There was a lawyer in verse 25 that came to Jesus and asked what he might do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus asked him, and he responded to love the Lord your God, verse 27, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now the subject is